newspaper because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Or do you do what everybody else in the media does, just create some shit and throw it on the wall and see what sticks, which is what I see happening everywhere.
Where are we at in society today? I'm a man. I'm 40.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
All right, it is Thursday, October 3rd, 2019 for Patreon subscribers. It is Friday, October 4th for the rest of yous, and thank you for joining us to Menace to Society. Best thing we got going right now, I think, is that all these shows are going to be on the one feed. So we will label the ones that are very specific to either national college football, which is Menace to Society, or the Menace to the Midwest, or the Pro Ohio, which we're going to kick back up. The good thing is you can identify them all in one feed. So we appreciate you subscribing. If you haven't subscribed, please subscribe and then give us a ranking. We'd appreciate 5 stars. 1 star if you want. We don't care. We also appreciate constructive criticism. But really fired up about where this is going. And again, I want to reiterate apologies. We had like a 7-day hiatus because of the legal things that I was involved in. And I tell you, that was really funny. Yeah. I mean, I addressed it all. And the best part is, here's the reality of how society, not society, well, part of society, but mainly social media works, is I addressed everything very honestly with facts. And I explained the situation, and immediately the other side wanted to come out and refute everything. And it's like, oh my God, can we just let it go? Like, I told everyone what really happened. I don't care what you think or what you want to think or what you want to portray to rewrite what really happened. It's like, let it go. Just let it go. So fortunately, it's over. And next week, we will get back to regularly scheduled recordings and releases and Patreon pre-releases and all of that. But I appreciate everyone kind of hanging with us. The numbers are going back up, which is a great thing. And we're really excited about it. So thank you for joining us. First thing I want to talk about is the hot topic right now in the country. Yeah. And that is compensation for likeness. And you can give it all those cute names like name, likeness, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no. It's basically compensation for likeness. And the best thing I've heard, so we obviously talked about it earlier in the week, and we actually have talked about it 3 other times. Yeah. And only now is it like a hot button issue, which I don't know why it took so long. But the moral of the story is this. Clay Travis hit the nail on the head, and it's something that I detailed, I don't know, a month ago. And that is, it's too late to talk about should it happen or should it not. And that's what everyone's talking about. Everyone's talking about, oh, it'll ruin college football, or it's what the players deserve. It's like, okay, that's like arguing about should we go land on the moon. It's like, we're already going to do it. We already did it.
Already happened.
Like, okay, well, that ship has passed. It's enough talking about it or asking about it or should it happen. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's too late now. Now the government has stepped in and started legislating it.
The government.
What's the government? I mean, it's going to happen.
It's just surprising that they're getting it done before the NCAA even starts.
Not even a little bit. If it's going to cost the NCAA a dollar, anyone else, I mean, it was going to happen this way or it wasn't going to happen is the moral of the story.
Yeah. True. You had to force the NCAA's hand.
So I've seen, I've read a lot of things on both sides. And the best part is every time I read it, it's like, I just want to yell at my phone or my computer. Like, it doesn't matter. It's happening. Stop arguing about it. Like, it's going to happen. I don't know why we're discussing it. It's like when Trump got elected, people were like, oh, he shouldn't be the president. Well, he should be the president. It's like, okay, well, he is the president. So stop arguing about that and talk about whatever else is relevant, because that's already done.
And you wouldn't know that from some of the media. Well,
but either way, Clay Travis had a great point that I heard. I watched one of his videos. And if you don't follow him, he's always got a hot take. And he addresses a lot more than just college football or just sports. But so you can take his opinion for what it's worth, whether you agree or disagree. But he made a point, and it's something that I addressed a month ago, is it's coming. Everyone's debating whether it should come or should not come, but it's coming. It's going to happen. So the real question that people should be talking about is, how is it going to happen? Like, how is this going to be a real thing? How are we going to do it? How's the NCAA going to do it? How's California going to do it? And all the other states that are going to make this a law also. And I outlined it before.
Yeah, I liked yours with the a trust you put into a trust.
It needs to be a trust. So here's what I believe it needs to happen. I believe these all players should be paid for their likeness because this is America. Once you're an adult, really not even an adult, I see 14-year-old YouTubers making millions. Yeah, right. So it doesn't matter who you are. If you can make a dollar off of your likeness or your whatever, you should be able to do it. That's a capitalistic society. Mm-hmm. That's what we are, by the way. If you don't want to be in that society, go to another country because that's what we are and that's what we were based on. But there are ways, like, for a 14-year-old, no different. If you're a YouTuber, let's say you're Ninja or Lachlan, and they're probably older than that. I don't know how old they are, but I know they make millions off of Fortnite. And my son is a...
Ninja makes a ton.
Right. My son is a 9-year-old, and he actually detailed to me that you have to be 13 to make money on YouTube or whatever. He's telling me about how it works. And I'm sitting here like, okay, one, how is my 9-year-old educating me on this? And two, this is wild. But what happens with a child actor? Well,
and three, so he's too young to do it. So,
well, right. But moral of the story is, how did Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen make bazillions of dollars when they were little kids acting? And how did that get managed? And the moral of the story is, you had parents when you were that age, and they, right or wrong,
A
lot of times wrong. But the moral story is, they had the ability to decide how all that money got distributed or how it happened. And I believe that the easiest segue for college athletes to go completely unpaid into a paid, compensated society is very simple. I think there needs to be a limit, and albeit a generous limit, they need to be able to make good money, not ridiculous money, but good money. And I don't have a number for that.
You could just cap it at a million.
Not even a million. That's probably excessive, but it doesn't matter. The moral of the story is, you should cap it. Here's the cap. Now, you are able to earn whatever you can earn. If you can earn $100 million in your 4 years, God bless you, earn it. That is America.
Yep.
And then that money will always be yours. Always. But I believe that if the NCAA wants to be a righteous organization, and here's the best part. We're talking about outside organizations compensating players for their likeness. We're not talking about schools compensating a player to play, paying them to play. So people will, initially the argument will be, well, how could Bowling Green compete with Ohio State? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, there's two sides to this. One, they can't. Yeah. They already can't.
They already can't.
That's already not happening. And two, it's not up to Bowling Green to compensate their players and get them to come there. And there will need to be restrictions as far as boosters, registered boosters, as to who can do it, who can't do it, and when can you do it. In my opinion, no recruit should be able to be compensated for his likeness because they're amateurs, they're 17, they're high school kids. But once you become an 18-year-old kid, you become a college student, you play in a game, now all of a sudden you increase your own likeness, the worth of it. You should be able to be compensated for it by outside companies. If Nike wants to sponsor LeBron James in today's age as an Ohio State basketball player mid-season because he's the best player in the world, he should be able to be compensated. But they should cap it and take the rest of whatever he can be compensated with and put it in a trust and then set benchmarks in that trust, right? And it doesn't matter the stipulations. Let's say when you turn 25 or 30, you get the money regardless, right? So then we give you incentive to graduate to, you could put whatever parameters you want on it.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you think that they could just get it once they're out of college? Because, I mean, at that point, they could just go quit and work at the Citgo.
No, but the moral of the story is you have this tool now, and the NCAA has been using that tool, which is the financial likeness of these superstars, and they've been using that tool to pad their pockets. That's what they've been doing with it, right? Mm-hmm. And so the moral story is, that's not right. Like, why are you padding? You're already going to pad your pockets. You already are padding your pockets. You don't need to do it excessively because of the likeness of that player selling their jersey and things like that. You're already getting insane amounts of money. And someone brought it up, like Jim Delaney, the Big Ten commissioner, is going to or already did get like a $25 million bonus because of a TV contract deal. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you sit there and you're like, what did this guy do? Why does he get $25 million? Like, yeah. Ezekiel Elliott should have got some of that money. Or better yet, you look at some of the other players. Like, you know who I think about? Is a kid, Jalen Smith at Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. He made Notre Dame so much money. And then what happened in his last game against Ohio State? Blown knee, every ligament, nerve damage. It was in question whether he'd ever play again.
Yeah.
Slipped into the second round. And fortunately, a year and a half later, got healthy, and now he's doing great. But there was a chance. So the other person that I think of, so that's one example where it worked out. The one that really is screwed up, and it's his personal experience, was a kid, and Alabama fans will remember this, Tyrone Prothrow.
Prothrow, yeah.
The wide receiver at Alabama. Probably, and I've said this a number of times, one of the best college wide receivers I've ever seen. He dominated us at Florida. He lit us up. And he, now, I mean, this could be, this conversation could go a number of different ways, but he was left in the game. I think we were up 28-3 or something like that in the fourth quarter. He should not have been in the game. But he was in the game. They ended up throwing a fade to him. We had a corner, D-Webb, tackled him as he caught it, snapped his leg in half. The bone came out of his skin. The kid never was able to walk right again, didn't play again ever. And you're looking at it like, this was a great player at Alabama. Had he been able to capitalize on his own likeness in some capped format, in some trust format, after that happened, he would have graduated. He could have got all that money, and he would be doing, and he's probably doing fine. I don't know what he's doing now.
I heard he was working at a bank down in Tuscaloosa at one point. I don't know anymore, but that's just what I heard.
Regardless of what he was doing, he could have capitalized on his own likeness as a 19, 20-year-old. He could have graduated, which that would have been great incentive for both Alabama, the NCAA, doing the right thing by a kid, helping motivate him to graduate, and he could have made a lot more money than he has. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, he never made those millions of dollars, and it's sad. And so that is the caveat, right? And so I think there's a way to incentivize this problem. I don't even want to say problem, to incentivize this situation where they can get paid for their likeness, and we can use that as a way to better their life after they get compensated, right? And so that's a hot topic. I've outlined it. I don't know, like I said, a month ago.
Yeah, I think one of the really good ways that every single player in the NCAA could earn at least something, because if you look at the Madden game, right, football, every player in the NFL gets a little something for being in that game, and the cover athlete gets a little bit more. So you have NCAA football, which was a huge game. Everybody loved it, took it away because you can't use a likeness. Now every player that's in that game can get a little bit of money. The cover athlete gets a little bit more, and the NCAA and schools get a little bit, and everybody gets something. And it's just things like that that the players could – it's not a lot of money. They aren't going to get $100,000 for being in the game. But
you know what? I think a lot of college football athletes would be happy with any amount of money for that game to come back. Exactly. And let me tell you who really would love that game to come back. The rest of the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what are we talking about? That is the most sought-after game and the most complained-about game because it's not here.
I've been waiting on that. What was the last one?
Like, 2014, I think, or 2012, something like that.
I thought it was like 10, but
either way, it's been a long time. And if there's something that people want, boy... Yeah. And I think it was after 2012, because it all started with the Northwestern group of kids rightfully so, they were like, this is bullshit. Yeah. Like people need compensated. But again, I could do a whole show on this topic and we've already went 14 minutes about it. But moral story is, let's stop debating whether this should happen or not, because it's happening. Get over it. It's happening. Whether you like it or don't like it, it's kind of like alternative uniforms. If you don't like Ohio State wearing black jerseys, sorry, it's happening. So let's talk about the repercussions at least, or how to do it.
Go back to your LeBron James thing, okay? So let's say he gets, because he would get the most money out of anyone ever in college. Say he gets $150 million, you cap it, the whatever. So he has $149 million just sitting there. When would he get that? Because he's not in college after the first year.
Again,
wouldn't it just be, here's your money?
Well, I think, in my opinion, it should be used as an incentivized amount of money, and it can grow. You can have some standard way to put it in, whatever, in a safe, low whatever investment.
Yeah, low yield.
Or low whatever. Yield investment. Mm-hmm. And regardless of all that, it's you could say, like, do you want it at 25? Okay, graduate. Before 25, you get it at 25. If you don't graduate, you will get it eventually. But we're trying to incentivize graduating and or whatever you want. Whatever. It doesn't you if you want to incite some good, use that as an incentive.
Well, and the thing is, that's the most extreme example possible.
Yeah, I mean
right. I'm going after that one.
And the thing sure, is he would have played 1 year. Let's say he made $150 million. He would have been the number one pick in the draft, made like $500 million his first year in the NBA, and he wouldn't really care if he got that $150 million now or in 10 years.
Okay. I mean, he wouldn't care about $150
million. I'm just saying he knows he's going to get it.
But you're talking about the extreme example, yeah. And that person, if their career pans out and they become LeBron James, where they're worth $1 billion, then they might just take that money and donate it back to the school, or exactly. Donate. I mean, whatever. But that's whatever. That's irrelevant. So we went on too long about this, but I think I agree with Clay Travis. People are talking about should it happen. They should be talking about how it happens. Next thing I want to talk about. It was something that I saw on Twitter from Anna Hickey. If you don't know her, she's the Clemson 247 sports affiliate, a recruiting person. We're actually going to try to get her on the show in the future because she has insight into Clemson recruiting, which is one of the top five recruiting schools in the country. But she put out there something that hit a nerve with me, and it was class of 2021 offers, approximate, right? And you never know for sure who said, okay, you have an offer. But it brings up something that is very relevant in college football today. And so here's just like, I'll just pick out a couple schools. In the class of 2021, which is the next class, not the class right now, but the next class, right? They're juniors right now playing football. I'll just detail. So Stanford has only offered 17 people, and they have extraneous academic standards. So they don't offer people often until they know for sure they can get in. But outside of that, like Clemson has offered 45 student athletes, Notre Dame 70, Auburn 117, Georgia 130, Alabama 135, Ohio State 137, LSU 184. And mind you, like when you hear that, like LSU's offered 184 kids, they can only sign, let's say, 28. Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, there's no cap. I mean, there is a technical cap. There's ways to get around it, but 184 kids. Like if all 184 kids said, I'm in, it's not happening.
That's Bear Bryant tactics there. Just all for everyone.
But it brought something up that I think we detailed months ago and I wanted to just touch on. It's what is a committable offer? And it's such a hot button topic nowadays and especially in such a bullshit world that is recruiting. It's like the kids nowadays, they need to get an offer just to come visit. So you have to throw an offer out. And there's no way around it. But if you could ever just employ an honesty tactic when it comes to an offer, and there's definitely ways you could do it, but you could just allow written offers immediately where if they sign it, it's done. But there's so many schools, like what are we talking about? Even Ohio State, 137 offers.
Yeah.
Those kids can't commit. Yeah. There's probably 10 or 15 that can. So that means, let's say there's 15. That means there's 122 kids that have an offer from Ohio State that can't commit right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because some schools, there's two schools of thought. One is you have to offer kids to get in the game. And Greg Schiano used to bring it up when I was at Ohio State. And in the team that the guy that really made it in vogue and another alternative other than just offering kids to get in the game was Pete Carroll. USC offered minimal kids, and you could see a kid that has Alabama. Now that back then it was not Alabama wasn't as relevant, but they'd have all the big offers, but they'd be dying for that one, that Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, USC offer. Yeah. And it became like the golden ticket from Willy Wonka. It was like, if I get it, like I'm blown away, even if they haven't offered me before all these other schools. And there's two schools of thought. One is we have to offer them to get in the game. And the other thought is, which Clemson looks like that's the route they're going, and I love it. I think Clemson's doing something right, and I wish Ohio State would do it. It's no. Let's make this so rare that when a kid gets it, it means more than anything else. But speaking of Clemson, I know you guys saw the news because we talked about it on the phone earlier.
Yep.
Did you see North Carolina trolled Clemson during the game? I thought it was hilarious.
Yes.
It was awesome. Up on the Jumbotron.
On the Jumbotron. and it reminds me of my favorite thing I've ever seen on the Jumbotron, and people may know about this. I don't know if even you guys know about this, but we played at Minnesota And do you know what they do when the other team's kicking a field goal?
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, you, when we get off the air, you need to Google it or YouTube it, because the field goal kicker will be lining up to kick a field goal right at their jumbotron, which is huge. And all of a sudden, it'll be this that gopher meme that like where he's looking at you, yeah. like he turns and looks at you, and it is like, and the lights are flashing. It's the most distracting thing in college football. It is unbelievable.
It's legal?
No, it's absolutely it's legal, and it is like the honestly, I left. I was like, that's brilliant. Yeah. That's the coolest thing I've ever seen
for sure.
But so Clemson, they trolled UNC trolled Clemson, and they had a couple different. Shots. They were panning the crowd, and they found some Clemson fans
out
and
there.
The first one, they found like a young woman in a Clemson jersey, and they put a caption up that says, "She thinks Clemson is in Georgia." And then it was a Clemson fans looking at their cell phones with the caption, "They can't name the last head coach at Clemson." And then there was another one, a shot of a heavyset man in a Clemson t-shirt with a hat with the caption said, "He thinks the fridge is just a kitchen appliance." Obviously referring to former All-American defensive tackle William Perry, the
Chicago
fridge.
Bears.
And I thought it was awesome. It's what's great about sports. It's what's great about playing on the road. It's what's great about everything. And then UNC screwed it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
Then they come out and apologize. Their AD comes out and says, "We want everyone who comes to Chapel Hill to have a positive experience on our campus, whether they are supporters or our opponent's fans, first-time visitors or long-time guests," like blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It's like you had the perfect ploy. Like, it was awesome. Not only did you almost upset the number one team in the country, but you also were like poking fun at them. And it's like, that's what away games are. I'll never forget. I went to an Ohio State basketball game. So this is middle of my tenure at Ohio State. We go to an Ohio State game. Ohio State,
Michigan State.
No, Ohio State was still good at basketball. They're playing Indiana.
Okay.
And so this huge, I mean, the place goes dark. It's like game of the year. Indiana's ranked. Ohio State's ranked. Like it is the game. And I'm sitting there with a bunch of recruits, and they go on and they start bringing up former players. It's like I think Scooney Penn came on, Michael Redd came on, JJ Sullinger came on, and it's like they're just like, "Get up, Buckeyes. This is what we do." And then it was like, "Get on your feet." And then Bobby Knight came on. And Ohio State's playing Indiana. Yeah. And he was like, "I was born a Buckeye, raised a Buckeye. I am a Buckeye. And as Buckeyes, we beat the Hoosiers." And I'm talking about, I got chills. The whole place got chills. The place erupted. And I'm like, here's their former, one of their greatest head coaches.
He's the god.
Basically like supporting Ohio State. And it was like, there was no apologies. What do you mean? Like you're on the road. That's what you do.
That's what happens.
You go into an environment. Like, no one apologizes when LSU fans throw batteries at you. Like,
well, I mean, I think someone should.
I mean, that's that one should be apologized for.
That's
part of it.
Yeah, it's causing physical harm. Maybe that's worth an apology.
Yeah, I think that's where you draw the line is physical harm.
Don't they wrap them in marshmallows? Or something and just chuck them at you?
No, it was, I think, the dog pound you're thinking of that used to put them inside snowballs and throw them.
That might be real, but LSU just, I don't know, it's another topic, but maybe you should apologize for obviously causing physical harm, but I mean, that was nonsense. Moving on, I've been asked this question 100 times, and someone asked me it after this last episode in response to the Urban Meyer Pinehouse story from last episode, and I wanted to talk about it and pose a question to our audience, because I have my opinions, and I'll pose it to you, but I'll also pose it to the audience. The question is this and was this? It's been presented a number of times to me. It's, have you and Urban talked since everything happened? Has he forgiven you? And so I bring that up because there's two sides to this. One, I do feel bad on certain points of things that happened, but it brought me to something, I guess, greater than the show or greater than that question is, if someone does something wrong, right? And save your version of the media narrative of what happened with me and Urban Meyer and Ohio State, save that narrative. I'm talking in general. Talking about a few things that I did in my career that I felt was 100% wrong that I've owned from day one. And like I was late to work a handful, whatever. We don't need to go through it all. But here's the question to you. If all things are addressed, all things are vetted, apologies are issued, action plans to regain trust, and those moments of fault are years in the past, right? Like everything's water under the bridge at this point. right? Mm-hmm. It's all been addressed. You're moving on. Everyone's moving on. Everyone's moving forward. Do they become warranted of a second reconciliation and apology and forgiveness because the public found out?
I don't know why you'd need another apology.
So it's just, it was just a question that I have for the audience, and I'm curious your reaction to that, because Urban and I, people have asked, like, are you guys good? And I'm like, I don't know. I haven't talked to him, but we were great for a year and a half after everything happened. So I don't know how it is now. I would imagine we're great. Like, nothing nothing new happened. I mean, I know the media found out and made a witch hunt out of it, but like, I'm a year and a half ago, like in 2016, we were not good. No, that's the answer. We weren't. And then we got through it. There was a number of things that had to happen to regain trust with him, and those all happened, and we were a year past it all. And yeah, it was like, now people literally all the time are like, have you guys like kissed and made up? And I'm like, well, I haven't.
A long time ago, yeah.
One, like, we were never like we were friends, but we did that a year and a half ago. Like, yeah, we got through it. We came out the other end, and things started going really well. I don't know why people.
Well, I think the first part of the question is valid. Have you talked to him? Which you just said no.
No, so. I haven't talked to him. But regardless of that, I've been asked that question so many times. I just mm-hmm. wanted to mention it.
Yeah.
And also poll the audience. Like, I don't know how other people feel. But all right, that was a long current event and rant about other things. But we got a big game, a couple of big games, but the biggest game I think of the week is happening in Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, the Swamp.
The Swamp.
In Gainesville, Florida.
Only Gators get out alive.
We'll see.
I don't want to spoil my prediction, but only Gators do get out alive usually in the Swamp. Maybe not in recent history, but I think I'm not high on either team.
Me either.
I take that back. I'm high on both teams, just not as inflated as everyone else. But
both top 10.
There's a couple things that I think are alarming, not alarming, but of note, right? And the most important thing about this game is going to be, will Florida be able to establish a run game? Because you're talking about two kind of rookie quarterbacks going against each other. One has been thrust into the limelight. The other has kind of grown into the limelight as a freshman, right? But you're talking about the number 11 rushing offense in the SEC in Florida going against the number 3 rushing defense at Auburn. Auburn has a legit front seven.
Yeah.
I mean, legit. Yeah. Like, one of the best in the country. And Florida has been struggling
against
the front seven. Like, in the offensive line, in pass pro, yeah, in running the ball. And, I mean, Florida is they're going to struggle running the ball. So the question is this. Can John Hevesy and the offensive line find a way to play above their performance of the first quarter of the season? And they're not going to dominate Auburn's front seven, but can they neutralize it? Because there's several other things that are, I guess, I don't know if they're in their favor, but Auburn has the ninth best passing defense in the SEC, whereas Florida has the fifth best passing offense. So Kyle Trask, with Dan Mullen's scheme, the way he does things, I think they'll be able to efficiently throw the ball.
If they can have time.
I think they'll be able to they'll do things to protect the offensive line in the throw game.
Yeah, that's what I think the scheme is going to be the biggest thing. And Dan Mullen using the quarterback run to equate numbers and doing things kind of like Urban Meyer would do and trying to run the ball that way.
And so the real question here, and Oregon did similar things. And so the question is, all right, so you look at that end of the ball, right? Like, will Florida be able to run the ball against Auburn? You would say probably not. The other end of the spectrum is Auburn's offense is a rushing offense, and mm-hmm. Florida's defense is a rushing defense. Like, they are matched up. Florida's defense is matched up to stop Auburn running the ball. Florida also defends the pass really well. They're number 4 in the SEC in the pass efficiency defense. Auburn cannot throw the ball. They're number 13 in the SEC, and there's only 14 teams at throwing the ball. So the question is Florida going to be able to dominate Auburn's offense enough to with home field advantage to get out of there with a win?
It's definitely going to be just a defensive game all over the field on both sides.
That's what you think, at least.
The only mismatches are what I just talked about, right? Mm-hmm. The fact that Florida is going to struggle running the football. The other alarming thing for Florida is that Auburn has the number three tackling defense in the SEC. They're the third most efficient tackling defense, which is huge. We have talked about that. I have talked about that 100 times on both shows.
Yes.
That is huge. And they're the third most efficient tacklers. Florida is the 10th most efficient tackling defense in the SEC. So that's nerve-wracking. They're going to have to tackle better than they have all year to stay in this game. And I really think this is the most equal matchup we've seen. And people will talk about Auburn is this, Florida is this. I mean, you can even say it's a top 10 matchup. In my opinion, this is a top 15 matchup. This is those two teams that should be outside of the top 10, but it's gonna indicate which one's better and which one might prove me wrong. The cool thing is I can't wait to watch Auburn on offense and Florida on defense, because you're talking about a very one-dimensional offense by Auburn and a pretty good defense at Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's going to be really fun to watch Bo Nix in this game, because he's had a lot of kind of big moments already that in his career that he's been able to play in, but this will definitely be the biggest.
In my opinion, and I was critical of him after Auburn, not even critical. I gave him the credit that he deserved. He played excellent for a true freshman for a freshman quarterback. But we're not going to talk about that. He was dominant. He was not. He just did a great job as a young quarterback, which is unlikely. Like, that's phenomenal. That Auburn fans should be excited about it. And then he played awesome last week. So it's like, all right, we might be seeing him growing into a quarterback that could lead a top 10 team, because they're not right now. But if he becomes that quarterback, and he's a freshman, I mean, that's what you expect, a major learning curve. And if it happens, he could vaunt them into a top 10 team. I'm telling you, they are not right now. But what do you expect with a young quarterback like that? They shouldn't be. But if they're going to be when it counts, this is the game for him to take that step. And the cool thing is what I always look to is, all right, what are the outlier factors, right? And there's two huge ones. One is home field advantage, and the Swamp is no joke. Mm-hmm. So that's a major advantage in Florida's favor. And the other one I always look at is special teams. And the cool thing is these two teams on Pro Football Focus are tied for fifth in the SEC in special teams grades. So, like, on paper, the first 4 or 5 games of the season, they are about equal in special teams. So now it's going to come down to the shit that matters. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes in these tight of games, these huge games, it's like, nope. But Ohio State's special teams are so much better than Michigan's that's going to be the edge. In this one, it's like, nah, they're kind of a wash. Now, that they could do some things to make it an advantage, but on paper, it's a wash. And so it's going to be about, can Florida run the ball enough to help Kyle Trask? Or,
well, yeah, what can you expect out of Kyle Trask? This is like, it's got to be his first big game ever, right?
Well, yeah, of course it is.
And so I don't know what to expect out of him. At least it's good, because we haven't seen any much of a drop off from Felipe Franks.
Well, that's a good thing, right? The good thing is Felipe Franks, the transition from one to the other has been pretty seamless.
Yeah.
It's and we'll see. You never know. I mean, there's been examples, and you look at 2014 at Ohio State, JT Barrett gets hurt, and you're like, oh man, how are they going to get through the Big Ten championship, or then the playoff with Cardale Jones?
Games after that,
and then it's like at the end, you're like, he did a lot better than JT. That's how. So you don't know. You don't know. Some kids go into the limelight, and it's like, oh boy, we got one here. And Kyle Trask has not shown me a reason why he's not better than Felipe Franks yet.
Yep.
But the only caveat to that is the staff thought he was. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's obviously a reason Felipe Franks was the starter.
Obviously. And so it's going to be, can Auburn throw the ball? Because I think it's going to be a wash when Auburn's on offense. Can they run the ball? Florida's going to do what they can to stop the run and make Bo Nix go win the game. And then Florida's pass efficiency defense is really good. And Auburn's not a very efficient passing offense over the year. The caveat being Bo Nix is trending up.
Yeah, and I also saw, this is a big news for Florida fans, is they're getting their big time cornerback CJ Henderson.
Yeah, in the throw game, that's huge.
Yeah.
In the run game, he's non-existent. Yeah. But
it's too bad that this game isn't a night game. I'd like to see that place. It's 3:30.
It is. But you know what? It'll still be rocking.
It will be rocking.
It won't be like a
Well, I've heard that the swamp has really gone downhill.
I've heard. Well, I mean, too, it's like any, not any other stadium.
Don't come out for that game, though.
I would think so.
Listen, it's going to be rocking on Saturday. I don't. It has went downhill since the Urban Meyer era and the Steve Spurrier era on a week to week basis. But for a game like this, it's come on. Yeah. It's going to be rocking.
Yeah. Because I mean, that stadium is definitely in my top five for the games. Urban was there.
It's ridiculous.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, but it's going to be a fun game. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to watch it. I'm excited to see Bo Nix. I'm excited to see Kyle Trask. I'm excited to see the whole thing. It's going to answer a lot of questions for those two teams because, in my opinion, those are the two teams that are discussed too much to be a playoff contender. And this game is going to give you a clear-cut picture of who you can talk about and who you can't. But the other thing is, I don't know about you guys, but for me, a game is 10 times more exciting when I'm putting my money on it. Sometimes I have a gut feeling about a matchup, and sometimes I'm just betting on my team because they're my team. So regardless of whether you've been betting for years or you're ready to play for the first time, MyBookie is your best bet this season. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing. Go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. Between football season, the MLB playoffs coming up or already started, and the start of the NBA and NHL seasons, it's time to get off the sideline and get into the action. If you really want to support your team this season, don't just sit on the sidelines. Get in the game with mybookie.ag. And if you join right now, mybookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code MENACE, M-E-N-A-C-E, to activate the offer. That's promo code MENACE to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
So I know we talked about it before, I think a couple shows ago. Are we going to get in on that? I want to do some bets.
Yeah, so here was my thought. I think what I want to do is I want to put $100 in MyBookie just to get the double up. I mean, what are we talking about? We can just bet with the free 100.
Free money.
And just work with that. And if we lose that, then we're dumb. But I think here's what I want to do. We're going to do a Menace to Society parlay maybe every week. Maybe it's a $25 parlay. We'll just kind of poll on Twitter the audience of which games do you like. These three, pick one. Then the next three, pick one. And then we'll take the two highest vote getters and throw a two-team parlay together. And we'll just keep racking it up. Keep it in mybookie.ag and just see how big we can get it. And at the end of the year, if we do well, if us as a platform can do well, audience, then we will, I don't know, throw a free party for everyone.
Wait, who's making the picks? So they're picking the games and we make the picks? Or do you mean
I'll pick the games and put them out and they can vote on them. And if they lose our money, they lose our
money. And
if they lose, I don't know if I trust these listeners on this.
If they lose all our money, we'll just
shut down shop.
We'll start a GoFundMe page. Maybe people will donate and pay us back. But I do want to put out, we didn't do it last week, obviously, because of the legal things I was going through. But we got to get back to Peepaw's picks. Peepaw's right around 60%, which is low for him, about average for the industry. But I wanted to give you Peepaw's picks for the weekend. So here are his picks. The first one is Friday night. If you're a Patreon, everyone will get this by Friday night. The first one is Cincinnati UCF. It's at Cincinnati. He likes UCF minus 3.5.
Oh, yeah. I'd take that.
That's a good pick. I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I would. I love Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's a tough game.
So he,
but it's only three. I'd do
it. 3.5. Yeah. It would hurt if Cincinnati wins, but so he's got, Peepaw's got UCF 3.5, and then Saturday, start with the noon games, he's got Penn State minus 27.5 at Purdue.
Wow.
He's got Oklahoma, right? Well, Purdue's been down this year.
I hear you. Yeah, that's a lot of points.
It's a large spread.
He's got Oklahoma State minus 10 at Texas Tech. Oh, well, I'm sorry. Penn State's at home. Did I say at Purdue?
I don't know if you did. I don't know.
So it's at Penn State. So Oklahoma State minus 10 at Texas Tech. He's got Texas minus 10.5 at West Virginia, which I don't disagree with.
I like that one. West Virginia looks terrible.
How about this? Speaking of the game, he's got Auburn minus 3 at Florida.
Oh, does he?
Wow. Oh, people. He's got Miami minus 14 at home against Virginia Tech.
Ooh. I don't know. They're both not very good. But
he's got Nebraska. Nebraska minus 7. Let me show you. Yeah, minus 7 at home against Northwestern. He's got Ohio State minus 20 at home against Michigan State.
Yeah.
And then he's got UCLA. Oh, I'm sorry. No, he's got Oregon State plus 6.5 at UCLA.
Okay. Okay.
So those are his, what is that? 6, 7, 8, 9 games of the week. And we're going to keep track of it. We're going to update you early next week on Peepaw, how he's doing. Make sure he was at about 60%. I've told him all along, if he drops below 50, he's out. We'll find a new gambling expert.
I'll just do it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
I don't know if I want your picks.
I was going to say, I don't think that's going to happen, but we can talk about that off air. But I would encourage you to check out my picks on Patreon. Our VIP subscribers outside of last week have gotten my picks every week, and I try to rank my favorite games. I'm at a little over 70% right now. Hoping to increase that percentage the next couple weeks, but I'm gonna try to give our supporters my insight from being in the industry and what I see on film now that I'm studying it again and again. Vegas honestly knows more than almost everyone. So if you're over 70% as an advisor or a giving advice, you're killing it. And right now I'm right at 70%. So if you want that my picks for the week, check out Patreon for our VIP subscribers, and they'll be on there every Saturday, usually Saturday morning, sometimes Friday afternoon, evening-ish, if there's a great game Friday that I love. But if not, I do it Saturday morning. But anyways, thank you for joining us for the national show, Menace to Society. We hope you enjoyed it. We are this platform is once we now that we consolidate everything, it's picking up momentum again, which is awesome. I mean, there was never any dip down, but it kind of leveled off, and now it started to pick up momentum, which is great. Make sure tomorrow you check out our Menace to the Midwest episode dropping on this feed also. And then, like I have said the last couple episodes, if you're interested in providing written content or really joining this platform in any aspect, reach out and email me. I've reached out to most of the people that have, and there's probably 25 to 30 that I haven't reached out to yet and will tonight or tomorrow morning. And after we get through this week, probably this weekend, we're going to send out the official email on what we want, what we're trying to do. But reach out to me, Zach, Z-A-C-H, at menacetosocietypodcast.com. And let us know what you want to do, what you're good at, what you think you can, what value you can bring. And we're going to try to expand this platform. And then also, if you're interested in sponsorship or advertising, reach out to sponsorship at menacetosocietypodcast.com. We have probably the top podcast in Central Ohio, certainly the state of Ohio, certainly the top Buckeye podcast on Menace to the Midwest and in this platform. So reach out if interested. I know that people are really into what we got going right now. But anyways, if you like it, I appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you were entertained. Hope you had fun. And if not, as we say, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Or do you do what everybody else in the media does, just create some shit and throw it on the wall and see what sticks, which is what I see happening everywhere.
Where are we at in society today? I'm a man. I'm 40.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my ass.